The way we take care of ourselves is ever evolving.
And what we know for sure is that our mind and spirit are linked to our physical body.
And that our wellness seems to extend into our communities and the planet we all share.
It is very, very clear that wellness is interconnected.
We love spending time with you to explore and practice the breakthroughs, the insights, and the passions of incredible people helping us all see the world in a whole new light.
This is HealthGig.
Siri Lindley is a two-time world champion triathlete. She's the author of a new book called Finding a Way, and we're going to talk about that book and much more on today's podcast. Siri Lindley, welcome to HealthGig.
Yes, Siri, so excited you're here.
I am so thrilled to be here. I've been looking forward to this, and thank you for having me. Doro, Trisha, you are two of my favorite humans on the planet, and to share this time with you and your listeners feels like a great joy and privilege. So thank you. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
So you have quite the story to tell, and you've told it in this new book. So why did you decide to write Finding a Way?
Wow. Okay. I'll have to give a lot of way to answer that question. But I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges of my life is 4.5 years ago, I got diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia with a genetic mutation. And it's one of those deadly diagnoses. And I realized at that point, we can get more into this, how everything that I'd been through in my life was preparing me to take on this challenge. And although the statistics were pretty horrific, I knew that I needed to give this diagnosis a meaning that would see me show up ready to fight. For example, if I listened to the statistics, then the meaning I would have given this diagnosis was, this is the end. And if we give anything the meaning that it's the end, whether it be a relationship or our lives or a job, we don't show up ready to fight for it. You know, we don't show up looking for every possible solution to find a way through or to make it better. In that, I gave this diagnosis the meaning that maybe what I'm going through now is preparing me for what I asked for. Throughout my life, my biggest journey has been to find freedom from the things that caused me suffering, freedom from anxiety, freedom to be who I am. All I wanted was to help others find their freedom, freedom to be all that they are, freedom to find joy and happiness and fulfillment. And I thought, well, maybe who I become in fighting this disease, who I become in finding a way through this will be all that I need to be to do what I have asked that I dream of doing in this world, to make a difference in people's lives. As I fought this disease, you know, there were times where in hospital, I didn't know if there was going to be a tomorrow. And in that, you really start reflecting on the life that you've lived. And you start thinking about, have I lived a life that I'm proud of that makes it okay if I'm not here tomorrow? And in that moment of reflection, I came to understand the most important things. And it wasn't how much money I made or the titles that I held or the races I won. It had nothing to do with that. I came up with, you know, have I loved with all my heart? Like the people that I love, have I told them, have I showed them how much I love them? Have I loved myself the way that I deserve to be loved? Have I loved what I've done? So in that, I realized, you know, the most important thing is, have I loved? And if I have a tomorrow, if I have another day, I'm going to make sure that in every single moment, I'm loving with all my heart. The second thing that came up is, did I live fearlessly? Did I do things that scared me? Did I do things that I didn't think I could? Did I say things that would perhaps make a difference, but I felt scared to say? Did I live fearlessly? And the third thing, the biggest one of all, was, did I make a difference? You know, did I make a difference in people's lives? Did I help people? And so as I lay there and I vowed that if there's a tomorrow, everything that I do, I will filter through these three things, which I realized were my purpose in life. My mission in life is to love with all my heart, to live fearlessly, and to make a difference. So every decision I will filter through. If this allows me to do those things, then it's a yes, and that's how I'm going to live my life. If it's not, I'm not going to do that anymore. So as I survived this, you know, and I lost friends along the way, you know, I met people that were on the same clinical trials as me that aren't here today. And there's a hard struggle there that I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to, where you feel this guilt, this survivor's guilt. But I didn't want to live with survivor's guilt. And I thought, I'm going to live with survivor's responsibility. And that responsibility is to pour every ounce of myself into this life and to do everything that I can to make a difference, to help others. That's when I decided I'm going to write a book, because I found my way through these like huge, enormous challenges. Like, how did I do that? Because if I can go back and unravel and figure out what were the questions I asked, what were the decisions I made, what were the things that I did that allowed me to survive this 5% chance, I must share that. I must help guide others. That became, you know, my inspiration behind writing Finding a Way, taking the impossible and making it possible, because I believe that every single person, I'm not special. I'm no different to every single one of you, but I've found a formula that works, and my formula may not be yours, but what this book does is it guides you to ask yourself the questions so that you will find your formula to overcome, to live your best life, to be your best self. That was a very long answer, Trisha and Doro.
So Siri, how long was the time that you were diagnosed? How long was that period and then your recovery period? And it's not that long ago, 4.5 years ago.
Well, it started, I was diagnosed around Thanksgiving in 2019. I had gone in for a hip replacement, and in the pre-op appointment, they came out and they said, we can't do this surgery. You have like no white blood cells. And so that led to a number of other tests where they discovered the leukemia. So that was around November. And at that point, there really were no treatments. It's a kind of disease that can take you within a week, within 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And so there was this big rush. And the miracle of it all is that there just happened to be two of the best leukemia doctors in the world in Denver, Colorado, where I was living. Each of these doctors were running clinical trials. The clinical trial doctor called me, and I have such wonderful people in my life, including you both. All these people were wanting to help me. You should go here and you can do this. And there's this amazing doctor here, but there happened to be these two clinical trials, which for a lot of people, I guess that's really scary, but I just knew in my heart, like, this is what's going to save my life. And I've always said that the right decision is the one that you go all in on, that you make the decision and you never look back. You go all in on it. That's going to be the right decision. So I chose these two doctors, literally started treatment the following week. The first clinical trial, the purpose of it was to get me in remission through these trial drugs, get into remission, at which point I would go into the hospital and do a massive week of chemo and radiation that would basically, as my doctor said, he's going to drop the biggest bomb that he can on my body until just about before it kills me, so that we're wiping out the entire immune system to welcome the second clinical trial, which was a bone marrow transplant using my match donor, which was my sister, and an umbilical cord that came together. And basically the umbilical cord joins with my sister's cells. My sister's cells teach the umbilical cord cells how to run the immune system. And once those umbilical cord cells become strong enough, they kill off my sister's cells. And I now have basically at this point a 4.5-year-old immune system. So I had all my baby vaccines and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Time in hospital was about a month, over a month. My mom slept on the couch every single night for that whole time. It was right during COVID. Then staying near the hospital for 100 days. And there's a number of bone marrow biopsies that are involved in figuring out whether everything's working or not. But it's probably about 6 months later where I was told I was cancer-free and the new cells had taken over and there was no sign of leukemia. So that was like the greatest moment ever. But from there, it was a long recovery. But every single moment was a celebration of life. No matter how sick I was, I just felt so grateful to know that I was on the road to a full recovery. And the 5-year mark, when that comes, then I'll really be happy.
Yeah.
4 years now, and that's pretty exciting.
So what was it that you focused on when you went through your treatments?
You know, one of the things I teach every day is how energy is everything, and our energy determines how we show up, and how we show up determines our destiny. And as I was saying in the beginning, you know, the meaning we give the things that happen determine how we show up. And it was hard. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. I've never been that sick. I've never been that weak. I've never been that scared. But what I had to do is I had to, and this is what we all can do when we are going through something really hard, as difficult as it may seem, you know, we all hold the remote control in our hands to choose between a thought that makes us feel even worse and a thought that makes us feel a little bit better. So for me, you know, in every single moment, I was trying to change my focus from how sick I was to something that I could appreciate. Well, I have health insurance. I have these two clinical trials available. I have my mom and my wife who love me and are not leaving my side. Like, if you think about how you feel when you're focusing on everything that's wrong, all your problems, everything you have no control over, your energy is so low. And from that place, it just gets worse. So what we need to do to become more resourceful in our thinking is we need to shift to focusing on what we have. And at that point, what do I have? I have a family that loves me. I have doctors that are doing everything they can to keep me alive. Just that shift lifted my energy enough. And that's something I can control. So when we're talking about what's a better way of thinking is focus on what you have, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. I don't want to die. I'm not going to focus on dying. I'm going to focus on living and what that's going to be like, what I look forward to doing when I'm beyond this, and focusing on what you can control. And what every one of you can control is what you choose to focus on, the meaning you give the things that are happening to you, and what you choose to do about it in that very moment. So I'm going to put all the responsibility on us, because what I've discovered is that life is up to us. Life is up to you. No one can change your experience of life except for you. And whatever you believe, whatever you're looking for, is what you will find. So in every single moment, I'm shifting to gratitude. You know, gratitude was the bridge from despair to hope. Gratitude gave me energy. Gratitude led me to being more resourceful as far as, you know, it took me a whole day to move into my hospital room. I covered the walls with vision boards because we all need a compelling future. Especially when we're going through a tough time, like it's a compelling future that's going to keep us going. So pictures reminding me of everything that's on the other side of this fight. And then I would close my eyes. And I know you both probably believe in this too, but visualization and closing my eyes as I lay in bed, so sick, so weak, so scared. But closing my eyes and seeing myself running my favorite mountain trail and using all 5 senses so I'd feel the warmth of the sun on my cheeks. I'd smell the wildflowers. I'd hear my wife beside me like giggling and cheering me on. I'd feel the energy, the strength, the vitality, and I'd see myself getting to the top and celebrating being cancer-free. So I'm visualizing this in my hospital bed. And in those moments, when you bring it alive, when you use all 5 senses and you bring this vision that you want alive, it actually feels real. But in order to do this, in order to even visualize that, I had to be in every single moment shifting my focus from what I didn't want to have happen to what I did. Shifting my focus from what everything that was wrong to everything that was right. The last thing is we all have proof. So when you're going through a hard time, so often what we do is we stack all our doubts. I'm going to fail and it's all going to be this horrible thing. But in those moments, what you must do is stack your proof. And we all have proof of times where you overcame some challenge that seemed insurmountable. We all have proof of times we achieved something that we never thought that we could. And we must advocate for ourselves in those tough, horrible, dark moments to stack our proof. Because again, that's all about energy. That's going to lift your energy. It's going to put you in a better place. It's going to move you towards what you want versus further away. So these were the things. I think gratitude, shifting your mindset, understanding that my experience is up to me, stacking your proof. And that's not easy. It's a discipline.
When you talk about energy being everything, and energy matters because we vibrate at different levels, right? So could you talk just a little bit about that and what that means?
So the energy we put out is the energy we're going to attract. And let me put it in a real simple way. Like if your energy is, you know, life is so hard. So it comes from the meaning too. Like life is so hard. We're going to find the hard everywhere we go because that's what we're looking for. When you're looking for something, you're going to find that. But if we're looking for how life is a gift, we will see the gift in everything because that's what we're looking for. And this energy, I mean, think about how contagious a smile is. Think about how contagious it is when you lift someone up that's feeling sad and how when we uplift others, you know, we are uplifted ourselves. But the energy, if you believe in the law of attraction, you know, you will get whatever you put out is what you're going to get back. From that space too, if we all, which we do, we all want to move towards the things that we want, the things that we dream of, the things we want to experience. But in order to do that, we need to show up with the energy that will attract that to us. And energy doesn't come from the food that you eat. It doesn't come from the supplements you take. Energy comes from what you choose to focus on, the meaning you give everything that happens to you. And what you choose to do about that. Even our body language, if you want me to be sad, like I can make myself feel sad by, you know, hunching over and putting my hand on my head and thinking about everything that's wrong. Like we can do sad, but we can also use our bodies first. Like I'll never forget, there was this time about 3 months in after my treatment and my mom said, Siri, I haven't seen you smile in so long. And I was like, oh my God, like that really struck me because I smile all the time. I've got big wrinkles from it. When she said that, she said, you don't have to be happy to smile, but you have to smile to open yourself up to being happy. So I started faking smile, you know, faking it. I was miserable, but I started faking the smile. And it did, like that led to my energy lifting and my being open to feeling some joy. Does that make sense?
That answer? Yes. That makes a lot of sense. You're right. How you're feeling is what you see. And that's what you talk about is how you get to choose what happens next. And that's kind of how you do it, right?
It's all up to us. And how can we reframe? I think one of the beautiful things that has come out of all of this is that I've become a master of reframing. Say, for example, and I didn't, but say I lost a job. Or didn't get the job of my dreams. I applied for, I didn't get it. Oh, dodged a bullet there. You know, I bet that obviously there's something there that wasn't meant for me because I believe that life is always happening for me. I believe that everything that happens is helping me get to where I dream of being. It's helping me become the person that I'm destined to be. So if we believe that life is always happening for us, wouldn't that allow us to reframe every single thing that happens that seems like a tragedy, but somehow find a gift in it? Now, I know in the moment, that's hard. So I'm not saying like have something horrible happen and find the gift today. Like right. That's not realistic, but it's further down the line. Like what about that hard challenge that you went through was a gift? Who are you today because of it? Who's in your life today that wouldn't have been if that hadn't happened?
So true. Trish and I were loving the way you've organized the book and you've organized it by different powers. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So the power line in my book, you know, at different times in our lives, I feel that we often think about who do I need to become? to have this or to experience this or to take my life to this level of fulfillment? Who do I need to become? What skill or characteristic must I strengthen in order to be that or have that? And I thought about all the different powers in my life that have helped me become who I am today, help me overcome challenges, help me navigate, you know, all the ups and downs in life. And those powers, just to give you some examples, you know, the power of love. Not just that love, loving others, but understanding how crucial it is to love yourself first, to give you all the things that you yearn for, to be able to provide yourself with that first. You know, the power of presence, how with anything, you know, presence deepens relationships with your partner, with your friends, with your family, with yourself. Being present, really listening. Being present while you're working on something. If you sit and you're totally present on a project that you are taking on and you put everything else away, you're fully present in that moment, you will do so much better work and be much more efficient in doing that. The power of the unexpected teacher. You know, these people.
I love
people,
that.
God, that's one of my favorite chapters, actually. What we learn from our dogs, what we learn from, you know, the neighbor that doesn't even know our name, you know, what we learn from the clerk at the grocery store and really acknowledging that, you know, these beautiful teachers that come into our lives unexpectedly and the lessons that we learn from them, the power of faith, the power of identity and authenticity, you know, being all that you were born to be. These things, and we all probably have different powers in our lives, but I feel the ones that have really impacted my life to the extent that they have are the ones I wanted to write about. I'm hoping that my book can be something that's kind of always on the coffee table, and you're going through something different in your life or you have a big goal that you want to achieve. There will be some chapter in there where you'll say, you know what, I do, I need to look at the power of faith because I think I need that right now. What does faith mean to me? How can that serve me? How can that give me something that will help me move towards what I want? So I'm hoping that it can be a guide. And I'm not putting it out there saying, you need to think like me. I'm offering my story and then offering up questions so that you can do the deep dive with yourself to find how you can look at faith or identity or presence or love or health. And use that to bring yourself to the next level in whatever it is that you're hoping to be or experience or do.
We have so much more to talk to Ciri Lindley about, and we're going to do that on our next episode of Health Gig, and we hope you check it out.
Thank you for joining us on Health Gig. We loved having you with us. We hope you'll tune in again next week. In the meantime, be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast and follow us on healthgigpod.com. I'm Tricia.
And I'm Doro.
Be well.